here. Choir, orchestra, you all are tremendous. Thank you so much. What a beautiful ushering in to the presence of God today. And I hope that you will open up your hearts now and your minds to the word of the Lord as we get to the place where we enter into his gates and hear from his throne room. And so if you've got your Bibles, y'all got your Bibles on your phone, on your device, in your hand, just say yes. Yes, all right. Once you have that, if you would go to Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we're going to continue to talk about the story of Christmas. I do want to encourage you, too, if you're online, Ashley's online today, and she's there to answer questions, answer prayer requests. We want to get more interactive, and so she's got her phone with her, and so just keep going along with her this morning. Listen, y'all got to stand once you got it. Okay, somebody initiate it and just rise to your feet. There you go, choir. You know you don't got it, but you can just. We're going to start, and you're going to say, oh, wait a minute. There ain't much to this reading today. There isn't. And what I want you to be encouraged about is that today, this is a key verse. If you have a key word or key study Bible, you're going to see that this is a key verse. This speaks to so much changing. In church, the things that have happened in these moments continue to affect the world today. And so as we read, we start in verse 7 here. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. Now we know in Colossians, it reminds us that not only is this her firstborn son, but it is the firstborn son of all what? Creation. Church, this is tremendous. She has just birthed the Creator. And she took this firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Because, and I want you to think about this, there was no place for them in the inn. God, today, we're just going to ask that you would just come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. We pray right now that you would bind him, cast him out, whether here or at home. And we ask that you would just continue to engage our hearts, engage our minds, allow your spirit to come and work freely. We pray today that every word spoken would be words from your throne room, from your heart, from your heart for this church and these people. And so today we entrust this to you and we pray that you would come and move during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I want you to just immediately think of this, okay? And I'm just going to joke with you for a second, but I think that knowing what I look like now, can you imagine my poor parents, and who knows if they're watching online or not, but like when I popped out, I mean, look at me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like oddly shaped. I mean, it's just a combination of many years and many generations put together. I was actually kind of cute as a kid. I'm not now, but I was. But I want you to think about this for a second and kind of get the perspective, okay, that Mary had. Now, I don't know if you're a parent or not, but if you are, we got parents back here. Yes, we're gonna have fun with this, okay? I actually, when I remember when we were getting ready to have Janae, we talked about, okay, what is Janae going to look like? And I would always say, the minute we would say that, I would say, Lord, please let her look like Janae. Like, I'm a mess, you know what I'm saying? Like, I fluctuate in a lot of ways. She's steady, you know what I'm saying? She's steady. Let him be like her, look like her. I was always praying that. And thankfully, guess what? They are. They look like her, right? Have you seen? Where are they? Are they weren't going to sit in? All right, well, they look so pretty today. I was so proud of them. Anyway, and so we just said, like, what are they going to look like? Did you ever think that as parents, like, what is this going to come out? I mean, is it going to be a sight or is it going to be a sight? You know what I'm saying? Let's just be honest. We're real, right? And sometimes we think that, you know, combining a bunch of stuff, it could be a sight. I'm a sight. But think about this, okay? Mary and Joseph had kind of a different scenario.
Jesus was implanted in the womb of Mary. And that's very different than what we're used to.
And I don't know that we often think, I am pretty sure that Mary thought from time to time, what is the image of God? Like literally, like we've read it, Mary read it, right? She understood it. She understood the scriptures. She was actually pretty theological. What comes out of her mouth is amazing and tremendous. I mean, she's a deep woman at this age. And yet I know she had to think like, what's coming out is it's going to be the image of the Almighty God. Yes, we're made in the image of God, but like, here it comes. I'm going to birth it. I don't know. It's not going to look like Joseph or me. I mean, it's going to be, it had to have been a question or a thought in her mind.
And people today, we know that the image of God, the image that we were created in, came to be a part of us. And so it's a tremendous thought to think of Jesus coming and unveiling himself to us. Unveilings are fun, right? This is a repeat for all of you, so I want you to interact, okay? I'm not going to talk about my bottom or anything, but since you can react back here and act like you're a part. Does that work for all of you? All right, good. Okay, I need a support team, so I got it this Sunday. Maybe I'll leave you up here in first service every week. How's that sound? Right? Separate you from your families? Okay. She said, move on. All right. We got time because y'all already ate breakfast, right? No? Come on now. We don't need lunch. Okay. We're going to fast after this. But an unveiling, right? We're excited because hopefully if you got your bulletin, you'll see all the dates are planned out for the year, most of them. And in there is a what? A grand opening, ribbon cutting, unveiling of the community center. That's exciting, happening on May 22nd, right? Yes, that's exciting. And we're going to unveil all that we've been working towards for 3 years, all that you've been giving towards, all that you've been serving towards. We're going to unveil it, and we're going to see what God is going to do. And church, when the image of the very God of creation came down through Mary to be here with us, you've got to think that that was quite an unveiling. What's interesting, though, is that I think the people of the day were not too excited in the way in which that unveiling happened. Their expectations were different. Oftentimes, our expectations of God are different than what actually happens. We expect him to do this, and he does this. We expect him to work in this way, and he... And even at the very beginning of his existence here on earth, it was different. It was odd. It was humble. It was low. But the key is that the veil between heaven and earth was beginning to be separated. And I know I've been stressing this, but people, I don't know where all of you come from or where you're at or what you're experiencing. But what I want you to know today in this is that this unveiling, it meant that all the years where they went through priests and went through other people, and there was a process to getting from the holy of holies to the holy of holies to the holiest place, the third place in the temple, to experiencing God's presence. See, we in the church today, we take for granted that we get this access. We have a free access to the Spirit, all because of the unveiling of God coming to be man. Even in the scriptures, it talks about, if you look in Colossians here, where Paul spoke of the image. He is the image of the invisible God. You've got to think this is tremendous. All of a sudden, what they couldn't see, what they couldn't experience, what a priest had to do for them, now all of a sudden was coming to be. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Meaning this is the firstborn coming down before even creation, before what we can even fathom, read, or see. He came to be with us. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And I love this. And he is before all things. And in him, all things are held together. So think about this for a second. If you feel like today you're not being well held together, you ever heard that expression, I feel like I'm falling apart? I mean, don't we feel like that sometimes? And sometimes we just say it, and we don't really mean it. But the key is that if Jesus came to be with us in the flesh, and he is what holds all things together, guess what's held together today? You. No matter where you are, what you're facing, what you're encountering, the invisible became visible and walked to hold you together. See, God knew we couldn't continue to live in this separation. He needed to come and be with us. So, the firstborn of all creation came to be present. And you know what? Put your name there. He came to be present with you, with you, with you, with you, with you. When you think about this, to bring forth Mary, through her womb, brought forth this firstborn of all creation, the chief one, the one that was highly distinguished, the Son of God. That which was before creation all came to be a part of you. Now, here's what I love.
And I want you to get this, because in order to really enter into this Christmas season and celebrate the right thing, okay, you've got to understand that the firstborn came to bring the rights of the firstborn. See, I don't think we often live in this anymore, because we don't think like this. Like in Jewish tradition, guess what the firstborn son got to do? Make a lot of decisions. Are you a firstborn son, any of you? Yeah, see, we get to make a lot of decisions. Not the case anymore, right? But in this tradition, what happened with the firstborn son? Everything was given to the firstborn son. And guess what the firstborn son got to do? Let's say they had 7 or 8 brothers. You know what they did? Or 7 or 8 sisters and brothers. They got to say, you get, or you get nothing and you just serve me, right? They got a lot of decisions in Jewish tradition, if you understand Jewish tradition. But what's interesting is that Mary brought forth, and it's key here, could have just said Jesus, it could have said the Messiah. No, it said the firstborn son. Well, if we understand Jewish tradition and the firstborn son gets everything and gets to, guess what Jesus is bringing with him? Come on now. You know what Jesus is bringing with him? All the rights of the firstborn, all the power of the firstborn. So as Jesus came through the heavens and was implanted, you know what he brought with him? Power. When the Holy Spirit came on him at his baptism, think about what happened. It was like just the power of God being unleashed here on earth. He came with all the rights that comes with the firstborn of heaven. And so, I want you to think about this for a second. The story of Christmas tells us to embrace the unveiling of Christ within us. I believe this, and I say this often. I think that we as believers, if we would really embrace the constant unveiling that Christ wants to do in our lives, the world that you're surrounded in would look different. If we were embracing love and kindness the way Jesus did in his earthly ministry, the world would look different. People would have true joy. People would be seeing the unveiling of Christ day in and day out in their lives. But see, we don't live in the power of the firstborn. You know what we say? That's for Jesus, the apostles, the disciples. But we don't adopt it ourselves. We don't say that the words that tell us when Jesus says, you need to go on and do greater things. Man, if we as Christians would start living in. The problem is that when we think about God sending his firstborn son, it's significant there. We can talk about theology later. But he sent his with all the rights and all the authority. In fact, he gives Jesus all authority. The only way to God is through Jesus. That's the way you get there. And I don't know, maybe this Christmas you need to embrace the unveiling of more of him in you. This story of a son, now we've kind of talked about this, but when you look at 2 Colossians chapter 12, verse 2, write this down so you can go home and study it. 2 Colossians chapter 12, verse 2 speaks of the third heaven, the highest of heavens, meaning that, yes, it's similar to the place here. So we look at the temple setup, and I want you to think about this. He went from like the highest of highs, a place full of glory, a place full of the Spirit of God. He left and broke through and broke through and broke through and sent his son. Now, Joseph was a son. He was a son in the line of David, which fulfills scripture, fulfills prophecy. It's a beautiful thing. We know that the Messiah is a descendant from the line of David. And so God sent this firstborn son. And I kind of got ahead of the slides. I'm sorry I said all of this. Y'all should have told me. I forget and I just start preaching and I forget about the computer. But all right, the third thing. The story of Christmas is a story of constant movement. Okay, I'm one of those people, you can ask my wife, I am either, this is what I'd like to do, I'm either laying down or I'm up. And so when I'm up, I'm up, and she can say amen. But when I lay down, it's it, okay? And I don't know, can I say this about the kids? Okay, so any chance I can get, I make sure that, like, if we can play laying down, like if we're in the basement, I get a pillow and I lay down and I'm like, bring this stuff over here, we'll play over here. I play a game, like a card game, and like, it's ridiculous. She'll come downstairs like, what are you doing? I'm playing cards. She's like, you're laying down. I'm like, yeah, why not? I don't lay down otherwise. I'm either laying down or I'm on the move. And so, hey, and didn't, was it Mary? Where are you, Mary? Did she leave? Hey. She said to me yesterday, she said, you sat the whole practice. I said, yes, that's a record. I don't sit for 3 hours. I either lay or I move. Now, Jesus, right, he is either, oh, and then my kids always say, you know when you lay down, your belly's bigger? I don't know. My daughters are obsessed with my belly. Anyway, that's weird. Is this online? Yes. That's a first service thing. I should not be saying that in second service. We're planning on going back to live for both services at Easter. I'm going to have to control myself a little more in first service then. But anyway, you got a glimpse into first service, but they're always talking about my belly when I lay down because you can't do anything with it when you lay down. But anyway, now I lost my Jesus. Think about this. Constant movement, okay? He was always on the move. And you say, what do you mean? I want you to get this because he didn't come in this way by coincidence. See, we watch the stories, we see what happens, and we say, it's just so sad that Jesus came in this way. It is sad, but it was purposeful. It wasn't just by coincidence that Mary had to be on the move. See, Jesus was on the move. He calls us to be on the move. He reminds us often, and actually more than often, that this home that we're presently experiencing, where our feet are today, is not where our feet are going to land. In fact, it's not where our feet are intended to be. And so you may love where you live. You may love your home. It may be your forever home, but it ain't your forever home. I love when people say that because I say it actually isn't, just to be fun, right? I found my forever home. No, you didn't. If you're a believer, you're just sitting in it until it's time to, do you know what I'm saying? Like, what if our minds started thinking like this? So right away, the birthplace gives evidence to the lack of permanence in the life of Jesus. Right away, he was saying, I'm going to meet you where you are. Right away, he was saying to us through even the movement of Mary, this is going to be a movement. My movement is going to be one of movement. Now, we in the church, we don't love change and all that, but that's who Jesus was. Think about this. As an unborn child, Jesus traveled from heaven to Mary's womb, Nazareth to Elizabeth's home in Anacharan, then back to Nazareth, then to Bethlehem. Then after the birth, they flee from Judea to Egypt, then back to Nazareth. So already, what? He was on the move. Now, if you've ever been pregnant, does that sound exciting to you? No. You don't want to be on the move. You want to get that baby and sit at home until it stops and lets you sleep. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be on the move. But Jesus came, and before he even came in the birth form, he was on the move. Which, church, that tells us today that we're called to be on the move. That we're called to, like, whoever, wherever, whatever, that is our calling. This story reminds us that our present home is not our home. There was no room for the firstborn son of creation that transcends earth to lay himself. So think about this for a second. Where are you looking for room? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Here's the thing. See, we are so set on our lives here, right? That we're looking for places to belong. We're looking for a people group. Maybe you're not, but I'm telling you, society is. They're looking for places of acceptance. They're looking for places of love. They're looking for places to fill the voids that are within their hearts. I thought about this crazy thing the other night. We were watching late at night. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. By the time all the kids get to bed and everything's set and everything's clean, then she turns me at 11:30 and says, let's watch a movie. And I'm like, honey. And she's like, it's Christmas. I'm like, but then I got to get up at 6. And she's like, let's just do it. So we do it and then drag ourselves up as old people in the morning. I don't know why we do it. But we're watching this movie and it was all about like kindness and stuff. And there were certain things in there. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, we need to be that. In the movie, they found it somewhere outside of the church, obviously. But man, the church should be the place where they find that. That resolution should have been in a good old church building. Because see, if we're people that are part of a movement that's centered around Jesus, the love and faith and joy and peace, all that this season's about, then man, society should see the answer, the hope, the placement from us. And so I went to bed discouraged. And see, church, we're looking for a room where we can find peace, acceptance, love, joy, a friend group. What's crazy is that Mary and Joseph could not find a place to sit with Jesus and have him born. Now you say, that's not really a big deal. I think it is a big deal. I think that right away he was showing us that this isn't important. Where I'm born isn't important. Because let me tell you, if God wanted a place to be open, see, we don't like to do the flip side of this. If we really believe in the power and might of God, then guess what he could have done? He could have opened up a place in a palace. He could have put a veil over them and said, hey, you're going to say yes today, and they're going to walk in that palace, and they're going to have that bedroom, and the nurses and the attendants, it's all going to be there, the cloth, the water, the disinfectant, every bit of it's going to be there for them. But guess what God didn't do? So we often look at what he did do, we don't look at what he didn't do. And see, what he didn't do today reminds us that placement does not matter. See, many of us, it's about placement. It's not about a heart. It's not about, see, we're looking for a place to be known. When you look at this third epiphany, we're going to actually talk about it next Sunday. It reminds us of the story of Christmas. And here's what I want you to get here. So here is Mary and Joseph. They've gone all over. They're looking for a place. And I want you to get this. They're looking for a place. They're looking for a room, somewhere safe, warm, whatever it may be, has equipment, water. They don't end up there. But guess what? And this is the unheard, unseen, unspoken of. But you have to think, as human beings and as strong as a faith that both Mary and Joseph had, there had to be a reason that the Lord sent the shepherds to them. He doesn't just do things to do things. And I think it was, and this is my interpretation, you can take it or leave it. I think it was a reminder. Hey, Mary. Hey, Joseph. Wherever you are, so am I. Because you can't tell me that as they went from door to door to door, and the answer was no, 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 that they weren't a little discouraged. Wouldn't you get discouraged? You know what we do in the church when people tell us, no, I don't believe, no, I don't want to, no, I, you know what we do? We retreat and get back to the pew and say, I'll do that next year. I ain't talking about Jesus for another year. I've been told no too many times. And so you can't tell me that Mary and Joseph weren't a little discouraged. And you know what? Guess who knew where they were? God. And he sent the angels down to the shepherds, very unexpecting. And you say, well, this doesn't make any sense. It does, because guess what? Shepherds don't have a what? A place to lay there. In fact, in that day, shepherds would have moved based on season, weather, water, food, supplies. They would have done what? Been on the move. And so, the God of heaven spoke to shepherds on the move to go to Mary and Joseph, who couldn't find a place, and remind them that this is just where he wanted them. And so, today you may feel a little displaced. You may feel like God's not speaking to you. You may feel like no one's around. You may sense in your heart that there's no way out. But what I want to remind you today is the story of Christmas tells us that no matter where your placement is, there the Lord can be also. And if you don't sense him, if you don't feel him, you need to call out to him. You need to cry out to him. Because you know what? Just as he came to be with and to remind and to encourage, you know, he didn't use kings, he used wise men, he used shepherds to go and say, hey, I'm still with you. No matter where you are. People, whether you're home or here, he is still with you. No matter where you are. No matter what you're facing. So Jeff, if you would, do you mind just turning the lights down? It's hard to respond to a message. I think in this day, it's even harder. We don't want to be prayed over. Sometimes we don't want to be prayed for. But I know that today, there are many of us. We're looking for a room. We're looking for a space. Maybe you're online today, and you're looking for a space to experience love, acceptance, kindness. Or maybe you're just looking for a space to be reminded that Jesus is still in love with you. Because you know what? Jesus is still in love with you. The words of the Bible still speak to you. And just as he went and reminded Mary and Joseph that, hey, I'm still here, even though you're in outside of the inn, I'm still with you. The reminder today is that he still desires to be with you. And he wants to meet you where you are. We're going to sing again. The altars are open. Who cares about your neighbor? Your eternity isn't based on them. Some of it will be based on how you treat them. But today, it's about you and him. And if you don't have a space, if you don't feel reminded, why not come and be reminded? Thank you. God, we thank you that you are love. And we're thankful today that love came down, that love came to be with us. And so today, God, I just pray that your Spirit would go and find those this morning that don't see, feel, sense, know. God, go and send your Spirit to remind them that you are love and that you want to find them, that you want to discover them, that you want to love on them, that you want to embrace them. And so draw each and every one of us into your presence. We love you so much today, and we're so humbled and thankful that you have done this for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name.
Savior of you.